Tapping for Miracles with Margaret Lynch. Class 1, the first chakra.
Okay, this is Margaret M. Lynch from margaretmlynch.com, and welcome to the first class for Tapping for Miracles. I'm going to start out with kind of giving an overview of the class and getting you oriented on how the class is going to run. And then what we'll be doing in each class is just about an hour or an hour and 10 or 15 minutes of the tapping. And then we're going to switch over to Joan, who's going to take over at the end of each class and end the class with a really nice energy healing and blessing for each chakra. So that'll happen closer to the end of the class. And then at the end of each class, there's an opportunity to ask questions or give feedback. I usually stay on the line a little bit longer to give people opportunities to ask me questions or Joan questions as well about the meditative part of the class. So first things is welcome to the class. This is Tapping for Miracles. And as I said in some of the marketing information about the class, as soon as we say the word miracles, we really start to trigger some of our deepest held beliefs around our religious upbringing, around God or the God of our understanding, around abundance. Does abundance really exist? And certainly around our own worthiness. So that being said, as soon as we get into areas that are going to cross over with the words God and religion and divine, I just want to stress that I'll be using words like God or the divine. Joan will be using different words for the way she understands her spirituality. Definitely substitute the words in the tapping or the words in your own mind that resonate for you, the words that you use for the God of your understanding. All sorts of religious backgrounds are represented on my classes, and I love that about the classes. But I say this not just because it's politically correct, but because for you to substitute the words for God or the divine or the universe, the words that really personally mean something to you, when you substitute those words, the whole tapping experience, the whole healing experience is going to be more personal and more meaningful for you. So please consider that as we move forward. You all have access to the foundational class for the Reese Method Profiles. You may not have had a chance to look at it yet. I include that information. We're not really going to be discussing it or going through the profiles in detail in this class, but the reason why I include it is because I think it is life-changing information. And every profile, as you start to hear and understand your profile or your dominant two profiles, each of them has a chakra dominant. So as we work through the chakras in this class, understanding your profile will help you zero in on chakras where you might need some extra work or where your lifelong work might be and owning more power around one or two of your profiles. Reese is busily writing the book on the profiles, and it should be finished this year. So there's not a lot of written information because this is his exclusive teaching. It's never been taught outside the school before except in my programs. So I hope you really enjoy and take some time with that. It's very life-changing information. I also like to mention that I am not an expert in the chakras. I teach the chakras based on the way Reese Thomas of the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, the way he teaches the chakras. And he has some unique ways of teaching them. So you'll be hearing that throughout this class. And the reason why I like to use the chakras as sort of a lens to look at some of these issues is I was very intrigued when in reading some Carolyn Mace, who is an incredible teacher of the chakras. She wrote a book called Energy Anatomy. And she says that when you think about our physical anatomy, you know, we could all picture an anatomy chart that would have all the different organs and bones and systems of the body. And she says that we are organized energetically as organized and as detailed and as precisely as we are physically. And that's why she calls it your energy anatomy. And to look at your energy anatomy, that is defined by the chakras. The chakras literally are your energy anatomy. And so I think it's a very compelling way to look at all the systems that we have in our body energetically And at each one, there's very different things going on. So, of course, in this first class, we're going to start with the first chakra and really get into what happens at the first chakra. But because this class is about miracles, I'm going to be focusing on three core pieces. In really getting ready and researching this class, and I apologize if you hear me shuffling around papers because I have notes everywhere from preparing for this class, I really feel that your ability to manifest miracles or to believe in miracles, or you could also say your vibrational match with the idea of miracles, is really dependent on three key things. The first one is your belief in infinite possibility, infinite resources, the idea that the universe, the divine, that God has infinite resources, not just has them, but has them for you personally, that there are an infinite amount of resources available to you at any time. And so this sounds a lot like law of attraction because it is abundance and infinite possibility. Secondly, it's connected to your faith that you are seen, loved, supported personally, very, very personally, by a benevolent power, by the God of your understanding. And so it's not just that there is a benevolent God and that he cares about you or you are exist in the mind of God, but that it's a very personal relationship, that you are seen, your uniqueness, your life purpose is seen and is important and is supported. So that's a big, big faith. And the third one is always your feeling of your own worthiness, your ability to feel how unique you are, your unique nature, your unique life purpose, and recognize and feel that as absolutely worthy of infinite resources, worthy of being seen personally, loved, and supported by the God of your understanding. So, as we move today towards the first chakra, I'm going to start by talking about the first chakra. We're really going to get into the second one, which is faith, that you are seen and loved and supported by the God of your understanding. Because at the first chakra, we are looking at our most basic level or earliest programming, really, and beliefs around our physical body, our family, and our religious upbringing, and everything solid in our life, including money. The question at the first chakra is, am I safe? So let me just describe the first chakra a little bit. It's also called the root chakra. It's located at the base of the spine in the coccyx. It represents, again, everything solid in our life, from the ground to our body to the house you live in to money. And it's where we hold our deepest beliefs about safety and security in our body, in our family, in our community, in our religion. Because it's the physical side of our being, and it's where we're connected to physical matter in our life, like I said, our house, our car, our money, it's where we actually physically manifest our visions, our beliefs, our relationships, our life purpose is physically manifested at the first chakra. So when your first chakra opens, it becomes a magnet, drawing the matter of life to you in the form of the material manifestation of good health, of prosperity, of relationships. Okay, so Reese describes it, it's like a tree. It's powerful, majestic. The first chakra is solid, unmoving, alive, but it's also very simple. So when you look at things in your life, physical things, your money, your house, your car, your computer, how well are they functioning? When you look at your body, how well is it functioning? You can get an idea of how well your first chakra is doing. It's all about safety, security. And so when it comes to where did we get these beliefs? They really come from our earliest programming, which is our tribe. I call it our tribe of origin. So our family or the people that raised us really provide that first level of programming about whether or not we're safe physically, whether money was something that was safe when we were growing up, whether survival was an issue, daily survival. Was there enough food? Was there enough love? Was there enough care? So when we think about this idea of miracles, where Deepak Chopra says, any miracle that happens involves some kind of direct contact with spirit. And I say that your vibrational match with miracles is depending on three things. One of them being your faith that you are seen and loved personally by a benevolent God or a benevolent universe. Then we also look at what does God look like at the first chakra, or what does religion look like at the first chakra? And so I did a lot of looking at Deepak Chopra's book called How to Know God, and I'll be drawing on that through this process. And he teaches that, wow, there's seven levels of spirituality that match up to the seven chakras. How cool is that? And so at the first chakra, again, it's all about safety and security. Safety, security means your first chakra is where your fight or flight response is, your basic nervous system fight or flight response. So what is the God of the fight or flight response, or the God of safety and security? Well, it means that the God at the first chakra, our belief, our faith in whether we have a benevolent God, is a God that is sometimes merciful, but sometimes punishing, sometimes vengeful. Or it's the God that's protective, that keeps you safe if you follow the rules. It's very much like a parent protecting us who are the small child. And that is a basic thing that I find in a lot of religious training, is very first chakra, where if you follow the rules, God will protect you. So what do miracles look like at the first chakra? Miracles at the first chakra really are around surviving great danger. They become mostly about being protected. Money becomes about being safe from danger, protected. Or the opposite, which is scarcity is more real. So as we look at miracles, and it's important to feel seen and loved and personally supported by a benevolent God who cares about us, or a benevolent universe or divine. Again, this is where you want to substitute your own word for the God of your understanding. When we're at the first chakra in its fight or flight mode, we basically see from that level a God who is punishing, vengeful, sometimes merciful. And we will often pray for miracles around survival. So when we're at our worst, at our most fearful, at our most desperate, that's when we feel it's okay to pray for a miracle to somehow survive this danger, to somehow get enough to get by. And so Deepak Chopra says, when you at the first chakra have fear, so anything in your life, which we're going to start to tune into next, that triggers fear or survival mode, then you have a God, what he calls it, the God of the fight or flight response. And again, miracles become something around just surviving or being protected by the divine, where we're weak and we need the divine to protect us. To see how this is working, there's a lot of information there to throw at you, and I'm sure it's kind of processing around. In these lower chakras, we'll probably talk a little bit more specifically about this connection with the divine, because this is really where we process whether or not the God of our understanding is benevolent or not. And I laugh when I say it only because it sounds crazy, but that is very true to my experience, that the way that I was raised religiously was always sort of a big question in my mind. If you follow the rules, and sometimes even if you did follow the rules, there was a flood and you had to get on an ark. So there's some interesting contradictions that I saw in myself as I looked at all these questions. I thought, well, of course I believe in a benevolent God. And then I went, if I look at a lot of my first chakra beliefs and the times in my life when I turned to faith and to prayer, it was in times of great desperation and need to be protected. So what I want you to start to think about and tune into, and then I'm going to give a chance for people to give me feedback, is I want you to travel back in time. So some people like to take a nice deep breath and close their eyes. And I want you to just picture yourself maybe around 6 or 7 or 5, somewhere younger version of yourself, even if it feels like you're sort of making up a picture in your mind. And I want you to just see yourself, this younger version of you, and put yourself in the house that you grew up in at that time. And put your parents or your caregivers there in the picture. And I want you to bring into this picture and just let your unconscious mind will fill in the details for you. I want you to bring into this picture some things that symbolize, first of all, the God of your understanding at that time. So often that comes from one source, your parents and your religious upbringing. So there's one thing I want you to bring into the picture. What is God's role in your family, in your life? What's the teaching about God or your religion? What's the feeling about it? And secondly, I want you to bring into this picture something that symbolizes the safety and security around your family. Were things tight? Was scarcity more real? Was there anxiety? Was there fear? Was your family in survival mode? Or were you in survival mode because of whatever was going on in your family? And I just want you to tune into that for a minute and notice these two things in this picture, your vision of what God is and how safe you felt. And so that younger version of you, what would a miracle mean? And just notice if you resonate with this idea that a miracle would be deliverance from fear, some kind of safety, some kind of security. Sometimes people pick up the kinds of miracles that their parents would pray for, ask for, talk about. So just take a look at this picture, and I do recommend you write down notes for yourself because the information that's being painted in this picture is very powerful for you. It comes from your subconscious mind, your energy system, and it's often got a lot in there to clear. Okay, so if you'd like now, you can *7. And I'd love to get some feedback on how this picture looks. What was the feeling about the God of your understanding or your religious training? And what was the feeling in the house around survival mode? Hit *7. and you'll be unmuted.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. This is really interesting to do because I hadn't thought about it in so long, and I realized that my parents would just drop me off at Sunday school, and they would tell me if I didn't come every week that I would burn in hell, and it just brought back to me these memories. Like, I was like, oh my God, I was so afraid of God. I was afraid of his wrath. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that in so long.
Yeah. So you come into the present moment and you think, wow, I would love to have miracles in my life.
Right.
You know, and that's at your, when we're looking at first chakra and you're looking at, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, this is your earliest, your most basic foundational programming.
Right.
And every chakra above, in somehow, some way or another, will speak the truth of that programming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, kind of a conflict. So looking at the picture, what's the level of fear in you?
Well, in my family, I felt safe. Consciously, I didn't know that they were struggling at the time because they kept it from me. They didn't speak about it in front of me, but I later found out that they were struggling. So I guess unconsciously I was picking up on that.
Mm-hmm. But if you were to put yourself in the situation of if you don't go to Sunday school, you're going to go to hell.
I know. I was terrified. Absolutely terrified.
So I just want you to see, you know, look at the picture and see if you could see that on your face. Because it's really interesting the way your mind will paint that picture. And when you can even picture the terror on your face or fear, even though you're just, you know, closing your eyes and imagining, it's a very strong indicator that that's what's being carried in your nervous system. So first chakra is the fight or flight. So what we see here that triggers fear will still trigger your fight or flight in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for you, there's some kind of going to be fight or flight trigger whenever things go a little bit closer to spirituality or the divine,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is, you know, kind of cutting off half your chakras.
Yeah,
just a little. And you know, as I was saying earlier, I kind of laugh when I looked at this in myself because I consciously think, well, of course I am not, and then you go back to this early program and you go, wow, that's what's in my first chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what would a miracle have been like for you? How do you think you would have defined a miracle? If you were to ask that child, you know, what would a miracle be like? What kind of miracles is it okay to ask for?
I guess just to know that I would be safe and never go to hell.
Okay, yeah. So a miracle is not going to hell.
Right.
Okay. Good feedback. Thank you.
Thanks.
Margaret?
Yes.
Hi. Hello, this is Beloved. Going back to that time for me, it was about total survival for me and for my parents. It was like always the fear of not being able to pay the rent or have food on the table, and also survival within the family, not knowing when one of the parents was going to strike.
Okay.
And in terms of God, it was that duality of that loving God sometimes. If I was perfect and completely pure, and that vengeful and punishing God. So I guess a miracle for me would be just to barely survive, to survive.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty big. You know, Deepak Chopra says in How to Know God, he said, the God of the first chakra is what do you need to do to make the God of the first chakra happy? And it's fear and loving devotion.
Yeah.
So there's always this, you got to be afraid of me, but you better be lovingly devoted. And so just as you said, you know, if I'm perfect, loving, but also vengeful and punishing. So there's always fear there, right? That's why he calls it the god of the fight or flight.
Fear and also the belief that I have to sacrifice for God, to deserve that the love of God.
The belief that you had to what?
Sacrifice.
Okay.
For the love of God, like earn God's love.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting because as I'm hearing that, I'm feeling this the same thing, Margaret, that you were talking about. Like in my adult mind, God is so loving that there's no way that he would make me beg for mercy. But going back to the way that I was raised, I have this picture of a stern, ruling God that's superior and powerful, and like asking for a miracle would mean begging for mercy. That he would just have mercy on me.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is why I use the chakras, because we would never come up with this. And when we think about a class about miracles, would we? You know, we think about miracles, it's like, this is going to be great. And to look at what goes on at the first chakra around miracles, it's some pretty dark stuff. Right. And so when we find stuff that's dark like this, absolutely, we want to clear it. And the other side of it is that when we do clear it, like, oh, my goodness, you've cleared something that's really heavy. Mm. Because there is a difference I've found as soon as we talk about how we are viewed. You know, we can talk about other people judging us and fear about all sorts of things. And I do lots of classes where we do a lot of that work. But as soon as we take it to the divine or to God, it's this global level. So I have to sacrifice and earn my deserving or earn love. When you say God, all of a sudden it's at this really big, global, mm-hmm. deeply rooted in our core level. And it sort of trumps some of the day-to-day stuff. It's a lot more unconscious because we're not conscious of it all the time. But when you get something that's very global like this, because it's not just like my neighbor, it's God, which is so deeply rooted in programmed in me, that when we find these conflicts, boy, does clearing them away, there's just a huge upside. So I always like to, that's my disclaimer when we find really dark stuff. It's going to be great when we clear it. Okay, great. Anybody else before we start to do some tapping?
Margaret?
Hi. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Margaret,
no, you go. You go first.
Go ahead. Sorry. My view is completely, it's very different from everyone else's on this. I don't have a vision of what I thought a God was when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because church was not a big part of my life, my upbringing.
Okay, great.
But, and I'm not even sure how safe I felt at that time. I know there were times I did not feel safe. But the big thing that came up for me was miracles. No, you know, it's just not a thought that comes into my head. I'm sitting here, I don't know how to explain it other than that. Everybody else, you were saying, everybody goes, oh, miracles, wonderful. And I don't have any preconceived idea of what a miracle is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's great because we've always got, that's why I said it's great when you voice your comment because you're always speaking for a ton of people on the class. So I appreciate that. So there's sort of, Reese will always say, there's a million ways not to feel something. And so there's sort of a gap there for you, right? So what does that mean? Or if you were to look at that picture for that young child, if someone asked them about what is their view of God, if they don't really have one, what would that bring up in the child to say, I don't really believe anything. I've never really been taught anything. There's sort of a gap there in, mm-hmm. again, what I call the faith that you are seen, loved, and supported personally by a benevolent God.
Yeah.
No, it's sort of there is no benevolent force out there. It's just me. It's just this room. It's just work. So, which is very, what we call very first chakra. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you signed up for this class.
Because I have been working on my spirituality in that last 4 or 5 years and recognizing that I have one.
Yeah.
And recognizing that I'm connected to all kinds of things out there, but the word God is not the same to me as it is to other people. I see it as, actually, when I look at that word, I think of it as very negative, but that was the way I was raised, or the way my father talked about Christian religion.
Okay.
And that was when I was older, so.
Yeah, anyway. And so that's good to look at, because there wasn't actually a gap there. There was actually, even if it was a little bit older, it wasn't just neutral. There was definitely some negative connotation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? And when I started this spiritual thing, I realized how negative it was. I could not open myself to anyone out there of any kind of a religion because there was such this negative connection.
Yeah.
And I've let go of most of that, which is wonderful, but anyway.
Yeah, and what often we find of our parents' generation, so, you know, I'm like in my mid-40s, and so our parents' generation, I think of people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, that often when they rejected religion, it was often around a first chakra issue where they felt that, hey, the one thing God's supposed to do is protect me. How could he let this happen? How could God mm-hmm. let this happen to us? So there's some sort of a break in the religion because of, or their belief, what they were raised with, because there's some way that the way they saw God was supposed to be there to protect, like a loving father, just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be interesting for you to look at, you know, where that came from in your father.
I think I know exactly where it came from. But
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think there was one more person trying to give a comment.
Yes,
hi.
Yeah, I was just going to add to the other people. I agree that I had very fear-based God, and the miracles is sort of, well, yeah, aren't any miracles. God's got better things to do. But he was a very punishing view, and also there's an all-watching, all, you know, he knows what you're thinking, what you're doing, he will punish you, very vengeful. There was nothing benevolent about the God that I was brought up, and it was almost like, well, you're lucky to exist. And so my thing was just hoping that he wouldn't notice me, that he'd ignore me and letting me exist, but, you know, turn a blind eye. So there's no way, you know, miracles are going to happen for me.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, at best I'm ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, and so, you know, someone else said, you know, safety or a miracle meant not going to hell. For you, it's like a miracle would be, God doesn't even see me.
Yeah. He won't strike me. Yeah. He won't. Yeah. I get to exist, that he won't actually strike me dead, you know.
Right. Okay. Wow. Thank you for that. Okay. So lots of, you know, and this is really what we focus most on in the first chakra. It's a lot of focus on this religious belief because it's very first chakra, because it gets to our safety. And we're talking about both safety globally, like we all just expressed, whether we were safe, like our soul, whether we were going to hell, whether God was going to punish us, and how that related to our actual family, what was going on in our family at the time, whether we felt safe in our family or our family was actually experiencing survival mode around food, around money, around resources. Okay, so we're going to do this round first, and then the next, we'll see what comes up after this. But I want to also do a round on the other side of it, which is the physical things in your family or lack of things would be much more real than the physical reality of miracles. Because if scarcity is more real, then abundance does not actually exist in your energy system as much as we want to talk about it and think about it. Okay, so we're going to start tapping, and I'm going to tap along and just leave a gap. I don't have anyone doing an echo round for me, and I think that's okay, because sometimes people like it and sometimes people don't. So I'm just going to try to leave enough gap, even though I tend to talk fast, so that you can do a repeat round. And again, please adjust my words around what's really coming up for you. Everyone on this class is going to have slightly different issues. I try to hit a lot of them, but certainly if there's one theme that's really hitting you, you can kind of keep on that theme and follow along with me loosely. So karate chop point. Even though I love the idea of miracles, the truth is I was raised with fear. Fear about God, fear about punishment, fear that he was always watching me with a critical eye. Why would I want a miracle from this God? I'm just going to honor that and hope I don't get struck by lightning for saying it. Even though I would love miracles in my life, I understand this involves contact with spirit, with the divine, with the God of my understanding. And I'm not so sure about that. In my first chakra, God meant fear. God meant anger. God meant sometimes merciful. If you were good. I'm just going to honor all this old programming. And the fear and the terror attached to it. And tapping through the points, there I was, a small child, so afraid of God's wrath, afraid I'd go to hell, afraid I wouldn't be forgiven, afraid my family wouldn't have enough to eat, afraid I had to be perfect. But I knew I wasn't. Miracles for me meant surviving. Miracles for me meant God was benevolent. A miracle for me meant things I couldn't really understand. I never really understood miracles. So many confusing messages in my religion, in my family, in my reality. I'd love to ask for a miracle. But it mostly meant survival. I just wanted to survive. There was so much fear. And it didn't seem like God cared. As a matter of fact, he seemed really scary. I totally honor this conflict around miracles, around the divine, programmed in my first chakra. Because when I think of miracles at a deep level, I remember fear. I remember survival mode. And that doesn't feel good. I'm so open to healing this for my highest good. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Just see how that went. And if you want to give me some feedback on that, you can *7 again and that will unmute you. And I just want to see if that's kind of triggered us higher or where we're at. Sometimes a round like that can actually trigger more emotion if it's voicing some really old stuff. Particularly sadness can come up.
I just got myself unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What I noticed, what was really, really powerful, and I'm very grateful for that, is I was raised in a communist society. We do not have God, but what I notice is for me, God, it's a power that's outside of me. And so it is naturally, was unconsciously associated with the probably more of a male energy, but also with the government. And I think, you know, for me, generically, you call it the divine. I kept substituting with the word power because that was bringing the most triggers for me. And noticing that power that has no control, that's very strong. And I just thought it was interesting. So I don't know if there is anybody else that is, you know, from a different background. But again, I feel like a lot of power that we consciously associate with things outside of us, whether it's the government or it can be a male figure, since God has, you know, depicted very often as a male, not a female. So I had some of those issues came up for me. So thank you for that.
Yeah, interesting. And you actually kind of moved up to the second chakra because those are all second chakra issues around God and religion and miracles. So cool. Sometimes our energy system says, I got more at the second chakra. I'm going to move up there. we'll be hitting some of those ideas again next week. So good.
I was really surprised because there was a lot of things coming up that I thought I'd already kind of gotten over, you know, psychologically and everything. And I come from a background where I was taught through children's books and things that, you know, if you were too good, if you were like a nice, good person, a nice, good child, then God would take you away. So if I was too good, if I was like achieving and doing everything perfect, then I would die. So I have this kind of very reverse relationship to God. So I can't be too good, but if I'm bad, I'll go to hell. So that was interesting. It really came up.
Yeah, that's an interesting. There's, how do you walk the middle of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. There was someone else who had just started to comment.
What I noticed was, well, we did the first thing, miracles for me are scary. That's the word that came up. But we were doing the tapping. What I remembered was that almost every time I've ever experienced something that I would call a miracle, it's brought up huge amounts of fear after it happened. I mean, I was like, oh, I noticed it, and then I'd be like in major fear. So for me, miracles really are scary, which is surprising.
Yeah, and great for sharing that. So you see directly the fight or flight connection, right?
Yes.
So at your first chakra, miracles are not safe.
Right.
Right. So a miracle could happen to you and it'll only be able to come so far down into your energy system. When it starts to hit your second and first chakra, you're like, no freaking way. I don't want this.
Exactly. And a lot of times what has been a miraculous occurrence, I've fought against it so much that it actually leaves. So I really want to get over that.
Yeah, right. And you know, again, the way I define miracles is it's when the divine co-creates with you. And so being able to go far beyond just your will and your willpower and your hard work, you know, you think of the firefly trying to fly through an open window and the window's half open and they just keep hitting the wall an inch away from the open window. Right. You just keep flying and hitting it and determination. And that little firefly keeps getting up and flying again. And an inch away is the windows open. So this is the divine is co-creating with us so that, as Wayne Dyer talks about, the path of least resistance. So to be able to
allow miracles to flow through your whole energy system and into your life and support your life purpose, it takes your life to a whole different level. So the fact that we've got these blocks in there that say, no, miracles are not real, or miracles are in one category. If I've almost got hit by a bus and someone saved me at the last minute, that's a miracle. That's it. Okay.
Margaret?
Yes.
For me, miracles, they're not only not safe, they are dangerous. And I can see how when I have gotten things that are wonderful for me, that I consider wonderful or a miracle, then something bad happens, whether it's my health or if my finances or something. I see how that's related to the sabotaging part. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for that. Yes.
It's amazing how many people are resonating on that. So we're going to do another round, and we're really going to hit the fight or flight a lot harder, because when you really tune into something like this, tapping is exceptional at turning off and rewiring the fight or flight. And so remember that when you've got something that comes up strong like this, you have proven it true hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in your life. You have evidence that you're carrying around that says this belief that I have, that this is dangerous, is true, and I've proved it over and over and over. You actually have neural pathways developed around that. So
Margaret,
when you find a core belief, you want to really work with this more than just the topic today. Yes.
Margaret, for me, something kind of interesting happened is I actually grew up with a God that was incredibly loving and in a religion that did not believe that in hell and all that. But for me, so I immediately jumped way back to my parents, who represented God for me in a whole different and very conflicted way. And that was where all the judgment and the damnation, even though I went to a church that was totally the opposite, when we started tapping, I kind of bypassed the whole presence of God and went into sort of my second God, if you will, which was my parents at an early age.
Yeah, right. And it's because that was more real to you.
Yes.
Right? Than this sort of, even as a young child, we see where there's incongruence. We see when people aren't congruent, like you're saying one thing and you're doing another. And so you really had great instincts about that they really represented a more real God to you, whether I'm safe, whether I'm secure, whether I'm going to be judged as good or bad.
Right.
Yes.
This may be second chakra, but the phrase is coming up, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Okay. Yeah. That's right in the first chakra. Right.
Okay.
Sometimes merciful and sometimes vengeful.
And you never know which one it's going to be.
Yeah. And so, again, at the first chakra, the question is, am I safe? And Eckhart Tolle says, when you can be in a situation where there's uncertainty about your safety and be calm, then that moment is when infinite possibility opens up to you. Okay, so when there's uncertainty, yet you're still calm, you have absence of fear, that's when infinite possibilities open. So when we're in survival mode, infinite possibilities and miracles do not exist for us in any real way. As much as we want to meditate on them and think about it, when it comes down to the real first chakra where we actually manifest, scarcity is more real. Life or death, survival mode is more real than being divinely guided and held in our life purpose. Okay, so really important at the first chakra. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was going to say that there are no miracles because there's no room for miracles. We can barely survive. We're too busy surviving. So there's no room for something better.
So, great reinforcement. And remember that every one of you that have expressed these survival mode issues, it's programming. So when you feel it in your life right now and you're replaying being in survival mode, when you think about your money and you have anxiety or you think about a scarcity in your life, it's programming. The life that you're replaying now, if that's what's present in your reality, it actually came from way back there, from the past. It's actually programming that's creating that. Okay, so really, really important to do this tapping for the first chakra around survival mode. So we're going to do another round on that. And this time we're going to go just right through the tapping points. Okay, so just start any points you like to tap and we're just going to tap. Okay, miracles are dangerous. And that is the truth. Barely surviving. Fear. Anxiety, terror, that is more real. That is absolutely real. That is the truth. That's what I lived. That's what I'm still living. There are no miracles. I wouldn't want them if there were. They're dangerous. They're scary. There's a huge downside. What's real in my first chakra is survival. Panic. Fear. Am I safe? I don't know. That's what's real. All this old programming, stuck, conflicted, and rooted in my first chakra. And my nervous system responds. My very nervous system is wired for survival mode. I don't feel safe. I've never felt safe. Miracles aren't even safe. Because the God of my understanding wasn't really safe. My family wasn't really safe. And from this first chakra programming, I see the whole world. I see miracles and I see the divine colored through this programming. I am open to healing this. It would probably take a miracle. I'm asking for help in healing this conflict, this old programming that I am not safe. I honor all of these old beliefs and I'm open to healing them. I do this for my highest good. And I call upon the light within me, the light of my soul that is eternal, that's never been wounded, that's always been safe. I call upon the light of my soul to help me heal this. The part of me that's always been whole, always been safe, and always eternal. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. In working with first chakra issues over the past year in the fight or flight connected to it, one really great antidote to the fight or flight fear is remembering your soul. Your soul that's eternal. Your soul's never been wounded. It's never been afraid. It doesn't care what you do for a living. It's eternal. And so I find it like a wonderful antidote to the fear and the fight or flight response is we kind of have to move up and touch our soul a little bit. And so one of the crystal bowl meditations that I will have Liz make available to you is called Touching the Soul. And this is a healing that Reese has crafted using the crystal bowls that brings you to the essential state of the feeling of the soul. And so it'll be a great exercise after this class to go to that recording. It's a 12 or 13 minute meditation. You listen to it, not on headphones. You want to listen to it so the sound vibrations can hit your whole body, all your chakras. And it will bring you to the calmness of your soul. So any quick comments on that round? I want to do a positive round after that one because that was pretty intense.
Margaret?
Yes.
I've been crying an awful lot from this. And what I got from the first round was that God ignored us. My father was ignored, and he was angry about it. And the reason I had no feeling, what I realized is God was ignoring us, and so I was never safe. And there were no miracles because my parents were ignoring me and God was ignoring me. And when you brought up the co-creating, when I think in terms of that, miracles doesn't work for me, but I can co-create things. I can see that happening. Okay. So it gives me great hope.
And so one of the other things that happens at the first chakra is it's where we make vows to be loyal to our family, or to never be anything like our family, and usually we make them simultaneously. And so what brings more power to the tapping and looking at the chakras is what Reese teaches about vows that we make. Because in addition to some of the hurt and the programming and the trauma that we had, we also at some point made a vow to say, that is it. I am not going to believe in this because it's painful. And so at the first chakra, we make vows around our beliefs. We make vows to be loyal to the teachings of our family or our religion, or to always fight against it. And either way, we will manifest around that vow. Okay. So thank you for bringing that up. Yes.
Yeah. I got this, just a thought, but I'm being tested that all the time. Like God is going to test me and I'm going to fail because I'm too weak. Because when I was growing up, my mother had chronic pain. I couldn't take it away from her. You know, she was always in pain and I was praying for it to go away, but of course it didn't. So then in the same way, other people have said that God had abandoned me, but at the same time I was always being tested and I always failed. That came
up. Yeah. And as you will be interesting when everyone listens to the profile class, you will also see in your profile a similar theme. And so the emotional intelligence specialist will often have issues around abandonment. So when we look at the God of our understanding, there's often a feeling of God abandoned me. The charismatic leader profile type will often feel sort of like this battle of, I don't need you, God. You wronged me. You betrayed my family, and I am going to refuse you. It'll also be interesting when you listen to the profile and see how you're processing your view of the divine, because your view of the divine or the God of your understanding is also your view of miracles. Miracles sounds, for some people, sounds lighter and easier to say, but it's all wrapped up in whether or not you believe that there is a benevolent force that is personally going to support you, or whether that is dangerous. Okay. So at this first chakra level, very, very connected. Okay, so thank you for that. So we're going to do another round, and then I'm going to introduce Joan. And what's wonderful about having sort of this energy healing, and she kind of calls it a blessing at each chakra, is that when there's a lot of intensity like this, it can end the class in a much calming place and bringing in a lot more calming and healing energy than we can sometimes just do with the tapping. And so we're going to do a positive round, and just recognize you might not be ready for this positive round yet, and that's okay. It'll be here on the recording for you, but we'll do the positive round to start opening up some ways of feeling about miracles. And so in the first chakra, as we look at the positive side of miracles, we actually start to see that everything in our life, every physical thing in our life, is already a miracle. Even the pen sitting in front of you on a desk is a miracle of engineering and fascinating, inspired ideas that came to people to create that pen sitting in front of you. Never mind the computer sitting on your desk, or the fact that right now, all over the world, there are people connected by the sound of my voice. Miracle. Okay, so as we open up to miracles in the first chakra, it's looking at the real material things in your life and seeing them as a miracle that were personally delivered to you just for your enjoyment. You know, as Abraham Hicks talks about, just because I love it and it's beautiful. As opposed to just seeing miracles to have something to do with survival. When we start to see the physical miracles around us, this is when your first chakra opens up its magnetic ability to start to draw and manifest the stuff, the physical stuff that miracles are made of. And as we clear these vials at the first chakra, it affects every chakra up. So we're going to do another round of tapping and bring in some of these positives. Okay, so karate chop point. Even though miracles has brought up a lot of pain for me, I totally love and accept myself. And I'm open to accepting the word miracles. Even though I made a vow at some point, and I've held it energetically in my first chakra, a vow to refuse the divine, a vow to believe in fear and survival, a vow to refuse the existence of miracles. I totally honor that vow in all the ways. It involves loyalty to my family and all the ways it involves rebelling against my family. I'm open to healing this old vow, clearing and releasing this vow. Programmed at my first chakra because it's really been limiting me. Even though I have this vow at my first chakra, and it's a vow against miracles, against the divine, against my religious beliefs, against my family, or loyal to my beliefs, loyal to my family, loyal to the God of my understanding. I now see all the fear in that vow, and I'm open to healing it. And tapping through the points, all this fear around the divine and miracles stuck in my first chakra. I'm open to healing that and allowing a new opening. Maybe just a baby step. A new widening and opening in the energy system of my first chakra. Allowing for room for miracles to be real. Allowing for space that miracles can fill. That the divine can fill. Allowing me to widen my view. Looking around the room and seeing miracles everywhere. I'm surrounded by miracles. Miracles manifest. The things I see around me and my very body are actually miracles. Miracles manifest. As I open up my first chakra, I widen my magnet. My first chakra magnet. And draw to me the physical stuff that miracles are made of. I'm open to walking among miracles, touching and feeling miracles, seeing everything around me as a miracle manifest. I'm allowing my soul to whisper in my ear that I am safe, I am unlimited, I am eternal, and I am divinely supported. I matter in this universe. There is a divine net always supporting me. I thank my soul for reminding me. I totally honor my first chakra, my body, my family, my money, everything solid in my life. I honor and bless now. I open my first chakra. I'm supercharging my magnet. And I'm allowing miracles. I'm allowing miracles. That feels so much better. And take a nice deep breath. Wonderful. And so we're going to move on to Joan. I don't have a lot of time to take more feedback right now, but after Joan is done, you know, about 10 or 12 minutes, we will stay on the line if you have any questions or comments. Okay, so I'm just going to introduce Joan here. Joan is a very special person to me. I was blessed to meet Joan, I guess it's been a couple of years now, and I adore her. She is one of the most spiritual people I know. I feel it when I'm in her presence, and I'm sure that you will feel it in the sound of her voice. Joan is an energy healer. Although she has studied Reiki and polarity therapy, she's best known for spirit-guided energy healing, which is a term that's been inspired to her as she developed her gifts. So Joan works with the chakras. She's also been trained in the profiles and works with those as well. Although you can't really describe what happens when someone does a healing, Joan really feels that her healings involve her raising her vibration up to open her connection with seventh chakra, with spirit, as she holds a deep and powerful heart intention for the highest and best of all of us on this class to channel out through her and out to us. So for her, her healings feel like part prayer, part channel, part energy transmission. So as she's going to come on the line, she's going to be speaking and doing a meditation for us, and she'll be speaking from her own personal faith. And so again, as I said in the beginning, in respect for all sorts of religious beliefs, please feel free, when depending on whatever words she uses, just choose and replace the words that reflect your personal beliefs and the God of your understanding. So if she says God and you like to use the word divine, really know that that is our intention for you, and you can always substitute in those words. Just like the tapping, this healing that Joan is going to be doing next is intended for everyone on this class connected by the sound of my voice. So even if you're listening to this recording at a later time, energy and prayer and blessings, there's no time and space barriers. As long as you're hearing the sound of her voice, you're connected to the healing that she's going to be giving. And I just like to tell people what to expect a little bit. You might feel, as she does this meditation, a sense of great peace. You might feel a lot of energy moving in your body. You might feel like you're going into a light meditation, or sometimes people think, you know, I think I went to sleep in some of that. I'm not sure. Or you might just feel nothing at all. Any experience that you have is going to be the right and perfect experience for you. Joan is going to be inviting you to travel with the energy and receive this blessing. And simply by holding an intention within you of really the words, yes, yes, I want this. And so as long as you choose to receive the blessing, you just need to hold that personal intention of, yes, I want to receive this. Otherwise, you can also just sit and listen. Some people are just curious about the process of a meditation and blessing, and they prefer to just kind of sit and listen. And that is also fine. And so Joan was born in County Kerry in Ireland. So she does have a brogue, and she was born with an awareness of angels all around her and has continued to experience that deep connection throughout her childhood and adult life. And as I said, she's an amazing healer, and I feel that spirituality in her presence. And it was one of the reasons I wanted to bring her onto this class, because this is such a special topic and does touch into very spiritual areas. So, Joan, welcome to the class.
Thank you very much.
You're on mute. Okay, good. And so you sound a little bit low, so you might need to speak up a little bit more depending on your connection.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Wonderful.
And everyone is muted, so they can't really give you feedback unless you want me to have them *7, and then we can do that as well. And so you can take it away,
okay.
Joan.
Thank you, Margaret.
And thank you for inviting me. I'm so honored to be present here today, this call. It's a tapping class is wonderful for miracles. One of my greatest blessings as a small child was my ability to connect with my spirit guides and angels. And that connection, that was a really special connection for me. And it helped me to survive through many years of trauma. So I bring my humble heart to you today to share, and with all the people in future time who will listen to this recording, the miraculous gift of healing from spirit that has always been a constant source of comfort and strength for me throughout my life. I invite you now to travel with me as we share this first chakra energy blessing and be open to receiving miracles. So let's begin by taking three deep breaths. First breath, inhale as deeply as you can through your nose. Hold the breath, then exhale slowly through your mouth. Second deep breath, inhale. hold it and exhale through your mouth. Third deep breath. Inhale, hold it, exhale slowly through your mouth and relax. Now visualize a beautiful circle of light and step with me into the center of this circle of light. As we pray, Infinite Spirit, God of love and light, I ask that you bring your golden healing light around us and close the circle in protection and love beneath our feet. I ask for all our highest guides and angels to be present with us, our whole divine team, our I Am presences to draw close. And I ask all the ascended masters and the legions of light to draw close to us. And I ask all the archangels, and especially Michael the archangel, to stand guard with us and protect us forever. And as we stand in the center of this beautiful golden energy of light, I invite you now to bring this golden healing light very slowly and gently through your crown chakra and allow it very gently to move through your body, floating downwards, down through the crown chakra, through the sixth chakra in the center of your forehead, down through your body very gently and safely, down through your throat chakra, into your heart, through your heart chakra, down through your third chakra, the solar plexus, down to the second chakra, the pelvis, until it reaches the base of your spine at the first chakra. The color of this chakra is red. And so I invite you to just rest here for a while. And just feel the safety and the connection to your angels, guides, or whatever your understanding may be. Just feel the peace with this beautiful golden healing light supporting you, comforting you, helping you feel secure in your body, present in this moment. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. And just imagine a tiny little thought being born within you, connecting you to your soul's light. Very gently, very slowly. Just imagine a little flame beginning to burn. There is darkness no more. And this beautiful little flame is being supported by the golden healing light. It is warm, comforting, safe. You are home at last. You are home to yourself. Welcome home. You are safe, you are secure. Now just allow this golden healing light to travel with this little flame and travel upward once again through your second chakra and touching into your third chakra, your solar plexus. Upward, gently floating through your heart chakra and feeling the warmth of your heart. Up, up, up through your throat chakra, touching in with your third eye, sixth chakra, and on up to your crown, and allow this golden healing light to travel outside your body, up above your body. Now see the golden light dispersing and becoming this beautiful golden raindrops drifting slowly down around your whole body in a blanket of protection and love. And know as you go forward from this moment, you will always walk in the light. Blessed be.
That was very beautiful, Joan. Very emotional for me. I just want everyone to take a nice deep breath, and or you can just stay there and hang up the phone on us. We don't mind. We're out of time. But just take a nice deep breath if you have a few more minutes and kind of come back to your body and back to the room that you're in. And if you want to give any feedback or any questions for me or questions for Joan, we'll stay on the line for a few more minutes and take your feedback. *7 to unmute. Although I know it's sometimes it's hard to come back from a nice meditation like that. I didn't want to come back. It's beautiful.
Hi, Margaret.
Yes.
Hi. I just had a bit of feedback about the how you interpret God in miracles, because I was raised with no religious background like the other caller, so yeah. this was really hard for me to resonate with.
Good.
And yeah, so I didn't relate to any of the feedback, so it was a little bit confusing for me. This, and I've done your miracle calls before, so I don't know why I had such difficulty with this call.
Yeah, so when we were doing some of the tapping, what you might want to look at is if there's really a vow there that says, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't really want to go there. Then what we'll do is we'll just sort of dissociate, right? So we won't really feel or resonate. We'll go up in our head. And that's okay. It just means that what
you know, when it comes to the divine and miracles and God and all of these first chakra issues, a lot of people will just dissociate up. They'll go from the first chakra, which is kind of what the fight or flight will do. It says, I got to get out of here. And we just kind of go up to our head. That's how we've learned to deal with it.
Okay.
Because if you, you know, I'm guessing you signed up for this class, it obviously had a very spiritual, you know, leaning, that it's something that you're curious about and that you want to grow into. And so it's definitely worth it for you to just see if you want to do some tapping around, even though, and I like to go overboard, right? So even though I want no part of this, I don't like this material. I don't want to talk about God. I don't resonate. I'm different than everyone else. I don't want to feel all this. I love and accept myself anyway. And so try some tapping on really refusing to have a spiritual connection, to feel whatever is in there about your, because you've got some belief about the divine, mm-hmm. right? There's, like we say, there's a million ways to not feel something or to not believe anything. And so there's something there, and just see how that feels for you.
Okay.
Because when it, you know, sometimes things don't resonate and some, because they're just not in our experience, but you want to come to what, if there was a lack there, if there was no religious upbringing, then what's in that gap? There's actually a belief about that gap.
Well, I know why, and that's because of the overkill that both my parents had as children in Roman Catholic faith. And I know that's why they never taught religion to us. But I'm a very spiritual person. I would consider myself spiritual now. Mm-hmm. So when you were going, say, you know, thinking as a child, that's where I had the disconnect. It wasn't, if you had asked me now, I could tell you, but then it was too fuzzy for me.
Yeah. So the stuff with the child will pick up on the refusal of the parents, right?
Okay.
So we're looking at the loyalty to my tribe. So in my upper chakras, as an adult, I'm totally down with spirituality, right? Because mm-hmm. it might be more of an upper chakra thing for you right now.
Okay.
At the first chakra, it's really looking to where do you have a vow to be loyal to your family around any type of, you know, recognizing God in any of these ways.
Okay.
Okay. And it's great that you don't have a lot of the negative programming to get rid of. Right?
Well, that was my teenage years.
Yeah.
That's when I went to Catholic school, and that's a whole different ball of wax, but...
Yeah, so there might be some refusal there to because it's like I'm going to be loyal to my parents and refuse all of that.
Okay, that's probably right? What it is then.
I don't want to see it, I don't want to feel it. It's not part of me. It's certainly not part of my spirituality, but it is at the lower chakras.
Okay.
Right? And so if we want to be able to understand what spirituality means at every chakra, then the lower chakras have very, very different issues around them.
Okay.
So for you, it's just going to be, you know, more of a little exploratory mystery for you.
Okay.
To see, you know, why you have a very strong refusal to go there.
Okay.
On this end of it. Right. And
okay.
Again, you know, you might not have the programming, which is great, but there's something in the fact that there's a gap there. There's some programming in the fact that there's no programming.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So little journey of discovery.
Sounds
Hi,
good.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
Hi, Margaret. Sorry, I just wanted to say that unlike the previous lady, I was been crying all the way through. Terrible, sort of shed loads of tears, not being able to stop. I mean, other than listening to the recording again, have you got any other suggestions on what else to tap on? Because obviously it was quite huge for me.
Right. Well, you're welcome.
It's
sorry.
Like hit everything. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
Better out than in.
Right. People say, wow, thanks, Margaret, you know. definitely to use the class again, and it's because of the global nature of these issues that they can hit us so deeply. But what I want you to think about is that there's a little gift in this for you, in that even though it's so painful, that for me, the gift or the calling in this is that for you, your spiritual connection is incredibly personal. And so if it hasn't been, you're looking at your potential because it's triggered so much emotion that the truth of you, it may not be how you've been living, but the truth of you is that your connection to the divine and to miracles is actually incredibly personal and incredibly deep. The fact that you've had so much emotion about it, it shows you the pain or the sadness of being separated from that. The pain and the sadness of carrying these beliefs, which right. keep you in a state of separation from your personal connection. It's clearly, you know, you have the potential on the other side of all these tears is to have a deeply personal and satisfying connection.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, I remember with the when you brought up the vow thing, I think I remembered vaguely as a child having asked God for something or some help, I think, and like that other lady where she felt ignored by her parents, I think a similar thing, and I felt again ignored by God. And I think when you said about the vow, I have a feeling I didn't realize any of that, and I have a feeling that I did go, right, you know, you've betrayed me, I almost like you're not there for me, that's it, you know. Separation. God doesn't care about me, you know.
Yeah, so the vow, remember, there's a trauma and a pain, which is one part of it. That was painful, there was trauma, there was hurt. And then the vow has even more energy because a vow is something that becomes the truth of us at a very deep level, and then we prove it true over and over. See, God doesn't care about me. And that happens multiple times. So a vow is different because you actually use your will around it and say, I refuse to have a personal connection because I don't trust you, right?
Yeah.
And so whether it's with the divine or with people, it's like you could tap away the trauma, but if you still have the vow, you're still going to create your life from that vow. Because now what happens is you have to manifest evidence that replays that vow. In that betrayal again and again. That's how we sort of manifest from our negative vows. So big one, it's when you find a vow, a lot of tapping on it is great because it's got so much energy connected to it.
Right, so do you think I should just carry on sort of tapping on that and...
Yeah, if I would do some, you know, do the class again, but do some specific tapping on it, not disagreeing with the vow. You know, you might want to do some tapping. And for anyone who feels like they have a vow, is just tap about it. You know, even though I have this vow and part of me thinks it is right and I don't want to let this vow go. And I have this vow for a reason and it is not safe for me to let go of this vow. And, you know, screw anybody who tells me I should let it go. And when you tap on it really vehemently that way, you'll often get more lightening of it and more insight around it. You made the vow to protect yourself. So right. The vow was made for a reason, but it's also been holding you back. Reese teaches that the vows always directly negate our truest nature. They're there to protect us. They're there a coping mechanism. But as we get older, they become unconscious and accepted as truth, and they always negate our nature.
Right.
Okay, so right. So there's a lot of upside in tapping about the vow and letting it go. It's not something we just tap away like a phobia. It takes a little more work because you've got, you know, neural nets built around this vow and this way of being.
Right.
But it's huge, huge to find a vow like that.
Yeah. So, that was pretty, thank you.
Yeah, and when you tap on it again, you know, sometimes that's a good time to sit down and really look at the other side of the evidence of what is carrying this vow cost me? And you'll see the other side of the story. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else got some final comments?
I just wanted to thank Joan for the blessing, because I just feel my tailbone is alive and my heart is alive and my third eye is just alive, and I just feel a lot of energy moving everywhere. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Joan gives a great healing.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah, I got a little, when you had the energy sort of move up, back up through the chakras and it hit the heart, all of a sudden I felt like I was going to burst into tears. It was just like this feeling of emotion coming up. So mm-hmm. it was wonderful for me as well.
That's great.
And so Joan will be joining us every week to go through each chakra with us at the end of the class. And so looking forward to next week. So thank you, everyone. Wonderful class. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Margaret.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Joan.
Yeah. Oh, very welcome. Thank you all. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, the feedback really makes the class much more powerfully healing for everyone. So I appreciate that. So I'll see you all next week.